Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope, where we discuss pro wrestling from a higher vantage point. I'm Chad, as always, here with my good buddy Diesel.
How you doing, Chad?
Living the dream one day at a time. And once again, since it's a predictions episode, joined for the second time, our good friend Jer, aka JR.
Hey, what's up, guys? Glad to be here.
Glad to have you back. We didn't know if you'd make it the second time, and it just works out that the podcast happens to happen when he doesn't have to work.
You're damn right.
Hey, nice. All right. So, you know, how's your week been, Diesel?
It's been pretty good. We got some news, though.
You got some news?
Or we do as a whole.
We do have some news as a whole. And once again, as always, you deliver the news because you're the professor.
That's right. We are now available to listen to on Google Play.
Yeah, it was a really short process. I thought it was going to take a while. It didn't tell me how long. And we applied. They gave us the approval the next day. It's awesome.
That is pretty cool, guys. It's awesome.
That's just something I'm going to have to remember at the end of the show.
Yeah, at least it's just the show name, though. So you don't have to say a weird hyphen or something, how I spell something. Because I'm the one who makes it so hard on you, because I couldn't do anything uniformly.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll forget it this time, because it's all new, but keep me on track.
JR, what's your week like, Ben?
All right, I guess. Warmer than I like. I hate warm weather. It sucks.
It is absolutely terrible here in Wisconsin right now. It's been like 89 and humid for the past 3 days, and it's rough.
It's been fun.
Yeah, no fun.
I feel like sweating.
Yeah. So we're going to move right ahead because we have a lot of things going on this week. And we're going to go right into our favorite segment of the week. And by our, I mean my. It's the Mystery Brainbuster of the Week. And Diesel's going to go first. And I enjoy hearing what he has to say.
Well, enjoy this then. It's not a very long question. It should be a simple one for both of you. My question is, who do you think is going to win next year's Royal Rumble, 2018?
Oh, that's a nice question. JR, do you want to go first, or would you like me to?
Well, that's kind of weird, because that was my question. I'm not even going to lie to you, but I can add a second part to it.
Oh, okay. So I guess you guys are going to tag team the question then? Do you want to just give us the second part right away?
My second part was who you think they should face for the title at WrestleMania once they do win the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
How about we just give him that question, because I got one on the back burner too. So,
all right. Well, then I guess JR is going first.
I guess I'm going first. So who's your pick for the Royal Rumble and who you think they should fight at WrestleMania?
I'll answer that first, I guess.
All right.
I already have one. I already have who I think is going to win already thought up because I thought of the question. I'm going with AJ Styles.
It's always a good call.
It's the 2-year anniversary after his debut. I mean, I think that they're going to want to put that on his resume. So I think he's going to win it, and I think he's going to go up against John Cena. I think John Cena will be the SmackDown champion.
You think he'll, at that point, be the 17th time breaking Ric Flair's record at WrestleMania and going against AJ?
I could totally see that happening.
I do think
I could see him winning it that night at Royal Rumble.
That's what I think, too, taking it off of Jinder.
So it'd be a repeat of last time when he got the 16th time, because that was at Royal Rumble when he beat AJ.
It would be, for Cena, it would be a repeat.
I know, that's what I'm saying, though, yeah.
The WrestleMania match might not be, it could be a different outcome.
And you know that I would not have any problem with them facing each other again, because that is my favorite match of 2017 from WWE as a whole. We talked about that, I don't know, last week.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Talked about it before. All right, so then I guess I have to go next.
Okay.
So I am going to go with my Royal Rumble winner being Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's always a good choice, too.
And Kevin Owens will then be facing AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
And they can actually have their real blow-off match, like their big-time one.
Yeah, I think AJ will lose the title, or the U.S. title, in one of these open challenges to someone, and then somehow get himself inserted into the main event scene. He'll face Shinsuke probably somewhere before WrestleMania, and win the title off Shinsuke, because they're going to put the title on Shinsuke before this year is over. And then Kevin Owens will win the Rumble, and then it will be the Face of America, a.k.a. Kevin Owens, versus the Phenomenal One, AJ Styles, at WrestleMania for the SmackDown title.
See, now mine is a little out there to an extent just because he just came up from NXT. And I was thinking that Bobby Roode should win the Royal Rumble. But I had the same thing as Schwenner, though. I had him facing John Cena at WrestleMania, Bobby Roode, John Cena for the title. Maybe Bobby Roode would win, put him over. John Cena would probably leave for a while again like he always does after WrestleMania. So, yeah, I thought Bobby Roode would probably be a good choice too.
No, that's actually a phenomenal choice. I didn't even think about Bobby Roode, but the way his career has gone in NXT and now transitioning to the main roster, I could see him putting him over in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and there's rumors that they're going to give him a big push too. He's going to be one of the top five guys, so that is very likely.
Yeah, I think that they would have like on the mic stuff between John Cena and Bobby Roode would be amazing.
Oh, it would be absolutely phenomenal, not to steal someone else's catchphrase, but...
Yeah, it's also a dream match, too. It's never happened before.
Yep, never happened before. I thought it'd be perfect for WrestleMania.
That's a good one.
All right, so we've all answered that one. So, Diesel, I guess it's now time to go to your backup question.
Yeah, this one's kind of a short one, too, but... Okay, so recently they just announced that they were going to be doing a Starrcade event, whether it's going to be house show or whatever it is. So, my question to you guys is, what other WCW pay-per-view would you like to see them bring back, whether it's in a house show or a pay-per-view? I mean, Chad looks like he's ready to go, so he might as well answer first.
Halloween Havoc. Without a question, Halloween Havoc. I want the pumpkins. I want the skulls. I want it all. I want Halloween Havoc. I want gimmick matches out the butthole. I want it all. I want Inferno matches, maybe a Hell in a Cell match, throw a casket match. Halloween Havoc. Halloween Havoc every day of the week. Halloween Havoc.
Well, I don't know where Chad stands on that one. Jeez. But I didn't watch too much WCW, but I don't know if it was actually called the actual name of that pay-per-view, the one with like the triple cage, or what's it called?
Well, the triple cage is actually inspired by Royal Rumble, Ready to Rumble, the movie.
Yeah, and then they actually did it after that.
Yeah, I think they did that it might have been actually at Starrcade.
Yeah, it might
have been at Starrcade.
Because that was a huge match, and that's when David Arquette won the title for real in WCW.
Oh, that's when he dropped the title.
No, he won in that match.
He dropped it to Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know a lot of the names of the pay-per-views, but I'd be in for that. Just do the triple cage. Even if it's at Halloween Havoc, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would take a triple cage match.
Yeah, Halloween Havoc's obviously the best choice, but I mean, what about Bash at the Beach, where they could actually have a pay-per-view on the beach
that
like they
be
used
awesome
to do?
Too, or, like during the day? Yeah. It's always weird watching
Hog Wild go back to Sturgis.
Yeah. That'd be pretty funny.
I'd be all right Fall with that Brawl. Too. I mean, just the names. Fall Brawl is a sweet name.
Yeah, no, that WCW had a lot of cool pay-per-view names, and we've talked about it before, but Bash at the Beach, I was in Florida when it happened. Once again, I wasn't there, but I was there. I was in Florida.
But not at the show.
No, but I was like, nah, I was in the same city.
Yeah.
You sold out again.
Hey, that's another good one. No, WCW is great. But so what was your answer then, Diesel?
Oh, I went with Halloween Havoc, too.
Ah, see, it's the best one. It has to be Halloween Havoc.
Wasn't Great American Bash originally WCW?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Why don't they do that anymore? I kind of like that in the middle of the summer, like right around like 4th of July, they always do it.
Yeah. Clash of Champions is also WCW.
Yeah, but it was Clash of the Champions in WCW. They took the out.
Yeah, it's just Clash of Champions.
Exactly.
They kind of stole it when they had Night of Champions as well.
Oh, exactly. They were going for the WCW thing. So I guess it's my turn for the question now, right?
Sure is.
I'm very excited for this question. All right, boys, I'm going to need you. It's not even really booking, though. I am going to need to give you, each of you, to give me four matches. These four matches can involve anyone you want. And this is going to be your dream card of all time. Four matches. With as many superstars as you want. I don't want any 30-man battle royals or anything, though.
No Royal Rumbles?
No Royal Rumbles. But I do want dream matches in your mind. And you can use whatever gimmick matches you want. No exclusions on that. I don't care what kind of gimmicks there are. But I would like to see the main event be a singles match. Or, you know, like a Fatal 4-Way. But it's up to you. And I would like to see at least one tag match in your four matches.
So, like, basically building your own pay-per-view, but only four matches?
It is a four-match spectacular. Okay. Where this would be something that would just draw everything. You get four matches, and that's it. But these are going to be the best four matches in current, like, times that you would ever see.
Has to be people from now.
From now.
From now. Okay.
Any promotion anywhere in the world.
Okay. Well.
Wow. That's a tough one, man. Well, just a minute to think about this here.
Wow. I mean, some of them I'm thinking of already face off with each other, so I'm going to try to switch it up. I would actually like to see War Machine versus The Bar.
Oh, that would be a good one.
I think that would be a good one.
Would that be your opening match? I also would like to just hear what order you think you would put these in.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be a good way to go.
That's a good one. And New Japan versus WWE in a just hard-hitting affair.
Wow. This is a tough one. I didn't even pick a stipulation for that one.
You don't even need to pick a stipulation.
Oh, I'm going to go War Machine rules.
So no DQ, no DQ and do what you want.
No rules.
Basically
no rules.
Tornado tag with no rules.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, this is a tough one. Well, I guess I'll go, since we just talked about it, John Cena, Bobby Roode.
Oh, never happened before.
Actually, I want to change it, not Bobby Roode. I want to go Samoa Joe.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and that one would be, wow, would be a good stipulation for them. Submission match?
Yeah, I'd be all right.
With the worst STF of all time versus Samoa Joe, who can do every submission under the sun.
Yeah, that definitely favors Samoa Joe. That'd be a good match. I'd be down for that.
And he hits a muscle buster in that match.
First time on the main roster.
I mean, I would like to see the main event has to be a singles match.
It doesn't have to be, but I you make it triple threat. I mean, but I just feel like that should be the all-time dream match that you could create between promotions.
Okay, my main event's going to be a triple threat, just let you know.
I assumed it would be.
All right, so let's go to my next match.
Oh, wow. So you have a tag team opener, and then you have a singles match between John Cena and Samoa Joe. So this is your...
I got another tag team match.
All right, I like it.
I want to go with the Usos versus the Young Bucks.
Yes, good call.
I knew that's what I was waiting for that match. I thought that's what you were going to open with, to be honest.
I didn't think of it right away. I talked about this before. I can't believe I didn't think about it right
now. I know. That's why I thought that was going to be your opening match. And I was going to be like, that is the perfect opening match. And they're going to steal the show. But you went with different match.
I'll switch them around. That would be my opening match.
I think so.
Okay. And then my main event is going to be a triple threat between Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Kenny Omega.
Very good call.
Kenny Omega. And just so everyone knows, my pro wrestling crate arrived today. And we have a new little mascot for the podcast because I have my new micro brawler, Kenny Omega. And he's chilling on my equipment, just telling me to be too sweet. It's what it is. It's awesome.
Yep. Just kicking it back. Kicking back.
Kicking it back.
So that's all yours then, Diesel?
Yep. That's mine.
All right. Well, I was going to open with a tag match as well. I was going to do the New Day versus the Young Bucks. It's basically in the same logic as you did. I just, with all, like, the colorfulness and, like, all the, I think it would be a good match.
Day of New.
Yeah.
The Day of New versus the Bucks of Youth would be phenomenal, and I have no problems admitting that. I just love throwing phenomenal out.
And if you want to throw a stip in there, I mean, make it a ladder match. That'd be sweet, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good way to open a show.
Yeah,
all right.
Ladder match tag team. And then I was thinking of a couple different, like, just singles matches. And I didn't want to put them all in, like, a main event against each other, but you definitely could, just kind of like Diesel did. I don't know.
So you have one match so far. You have your opening tag match. You get your second. This is your second part of the card.
How about a random one? We'll go Joe Hendry with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Wow.
Super random pairing, but I love Joe Hendry so much, and him and Shinsuke put on a barn burner for sure.
I'm not going to lie. I want to see that match.
I never thought of that match in my life, and boom, I like it. Everything about that match.
That is a good pick.
Yeah.
I would buy that pay-per-view.
We were just talking yesterday about how I think Joe Hendry will probably be in NXT after not too long because he has too much charisma to be on the indies too long.
Yeah, he is another Adam Cole. He's actually bigger than Adam Cole, though, so Vince McMahon will be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, he's definitely down for that, dude.
All right, so that was your second match. You got Bobby. I don't know. I said Bobby Roode. I got Bobby Roode on the brain now. Yeah. Darn it.
No, so that one, and then we'll go – I was thinking about maybe a triple threat in the next one. Do something like – one from each promotion, like, I don't know, say, what's his name? Tanahashi. Or isn't it Takahashi?
I was thinking of which Takahashi.
Are you thinking of the ticking time bomb? Okay, yeah, Takahashi, then yes.
From New Japan.
Yep.
You take someone from, you know, Ring of Honor, say, like, let's see here. You can take the champ.
Cody Rhodes.
And then someone from the WWE do like, let's see, trying to think of a good one. You could even, I'll do Samoa Joe for that one.
I was going to say Samoa Joe would be the best pick for that. Yeah. Now that's a pretty sick triple threat right
there. Yes, it is. And then main event, I would do one-on-one, John Cena and Kenny Omega. Just straight up one-on-one, see who's the better man match.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty phenomenal card. I would buy everything about that.
Oh, yeah, I'd be down for it.
See, I told you this was a really good question. Yeah. All right, so the way I would book this four-match pay-per-view, my opening match would be a Fatal 4-Way Cruiserweight match.
All right, I didn't even think about the Cruiserweight.
It would be Neville versus Kushida versus the Ticking Time Bomb versus... Why did I just lose who I was? Oh, TJ Perkins. And that would be a Fatal 4-Way. First pinfall would be, you know, the winner.
Yeah.
My second match would be a triple threat tag team match, which would be the Young Bucks versus the Revival versus the Briscoes.
Oh, yeah, dude. I didn't think about the Briscoes when I was thinking about tag teams. Oh,
yeah.
They're awesome.
My secondary main event would be a triple threat singles match, which would be Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, and Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
First one to pick Okada. I thought about it too.
And my main event would be Kenny Omega versus John Cena.
Yep.
Versus Roman Reigns.
Get it.
It would be a just all multi-man card, but John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Kenny Omega all in the same ring at the same time would be the most mind-blowing thing that we have ever seen, and it's probably going to happen, though.
Dude, I'd be so excited for that. I'm not going to lie.
So, did you say that we were supposed to have a singles match for our main event just because you had a triple threat already?
I told you you could do whatever you wanted. I said I would like you to do that, but I said you could do whatever you wanted.
I'm a free bird, Chad.
Yeah.
He does what he wants, right?
It's exactly what we all do.
Ding, ding, ding.
And that's the sound of the bell, kids. That means class is in session, and it is now time for a Pro Wrestling History 101 with Professor Diesel. And joining us for the first time in class is... JR.
Yeah.
He's going to learn some things.
I'm ready to learn here, Diesel.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's auditing the class.
Oh, yep,
definitely.
But yeah, so kids, take your seats. We got a doozy today.
If you will. Where are we going through this week, Professor?
We're going through September 22nd through September 28th.
All right.
So we're starting with September 22nd, 1997. It was Raw at Madison Square Garden in New York, New York.
Always and something big at Madison Square Garden.
This was the first ever Raw at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, very nice.
And the show was notable because it had the WWF debut of Cactus Jack.
Ooh, nice.
And it also was the first time Stone Cold ever stunned Vince McMahon, which planted the seed for their historic Austin McMahon feud.
Nice. Are you... I know you're watching the Raws. Are you past that point?
Yes, I'm in July of 98 right now.
Okay.
So, yes.
That is pretty big news there. First Stone Cold stunner to Mr. McMahon.
That's the one where he did the like the shake, right?
Yeah, he kicked him right in the balls.
Yep.
Right in the balls.
And he didn't take it very well either.
Nope.
But anyway, so despite being a pre-stacked card or a pre-stacked show, Nitro still blew him out of the water with a 3.7 rating to Raw's 2.4.
Jeez, man. Yeah, that was during the height of the Monday Night Wars where WCW looked like they were going to win.
So you guys are asking me what happened on Nitro that night, right?
Of course, I'm asking you what happened.
Well, it was the debut of Bill Goldberg.
Oh.
I wonder why it did so well. Jeez.
Well, so yeah, it was,
that's, yeah. That's a big night, though, for both programs there.
Oh, just you wait. Continuity, remember that. Okay. Every week, continuity.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Professor Diesel always builds.
Yeah.
Builds and builds and builds.
And I don't do it on purpose. It's just the way time does it for me.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're going to September 23rd in Middletown, New Jersey, 1995. Steve Austin, fresh from being let go from WCW, makes his ECW debut. And later that night, he has the infamous Steve-ster promo where he basically is mocking Hulk Hogan.
Ah, very nice.
That is good. Nice.
Have you ever seen that promo?
No, I don't think. Maybe I haven't, now that I think about it.
You should check it out. It's pretty funny, and he's shooting on him pretty much.
Does he do it in, like, his Stone Cold persona? Because I feel like it'd be kind of weird with his hair and everything. And
It's like the beginning of his Stone Cold persona. Okay. That's where it kind of launched from.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, he did have long hair in the promo, too.
Okay, so
he was still the stunning Steve Austin.
He didn't have facial hair either.
Yeah, no. Every time I see him with no facial hair and long hair, I'm like, well, that looks weird.
But it was a really good promo, so you should definitely check it out. You can probably find it on the network or YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure it's out there.
It's out there.
Okay, so moving on to 2002 at a Raw in Anaheim, California. I put this one in here for JR, but I am myself too because I like this fact a lot. Kane and the Hurricane
Tag Team Champions
defeated Lance Storm and Christian for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Nice.
That was the Un-Americans,
right? Yeah.
It was the Un-Americans.
Yes. Yeah. Right, yeah. I remember this. I loved it because there's a Hurricane coming.
I remember everything about that because I loved the Hurricane and Kane as teammates. It didn't make any sense whatsoever, but it was awesome.
Of course they did. They both had masks.
Yeah. I guess that was really the only thing they had in common.
What's up with that?
Okay, and moving on to a SmackDown taping in 2003 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Tajiri defeated Rey Mysterio to win the WWE Cruiserweight Championship.
Ooh.
That was after the light heavyweight already?
Yes.
In 2003, that soon?
Yes, because this was after the invasion.
Wow.
Yeah, the Cruiserweight title, yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking light heavyweight went longer than that. I should know that because I'm...
No, they killed that one off during the invasion.
Oh, that's right, yes.
I think they merged them together.
2002 was Invasion, right?
2001
is when the Invasion is, yeah.
All
right. Yeah, this is already during the brand split.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
There is a fun fact about this, too. This is the first time Tajiri ever used Red Mist in WWE ring.
Oh, really? Japanese buzzsaw. Love Tajiri, dude.
He always used awesome. The Green Mist, but he used the Red Mist this time.
He was a heel.
Yeah, because he's a heel instead of a face.
Okay, moving on. We're going to September 24th now, and we're going to a SmackDown taping in San Diego, California in 2002. Edge defeated Eddie Guerrero in a no disqualification match.
All right.
The significance of this match is that it was the number 8 moment on the top 100 moments of a SmackDown history DVD released in 2009.
Edge and Eddie Guerrero, you said?
Edge and Eddie Guerrero.
No DQ. And that was that's not for a title or anything. It was just a sick match, basically.
Yeah, it was one of the best matches in SmackDown history.
Right.
I do sure remember I've seen that. It,
yeah.
Oh, I loved SmackDown at that point. That was when I was full on wrestling. So,
hey, we got a couple birthdays.
Birthday.
Well, we're gonna start off with the first birthday. We go with the $1 billion princess, Stephanie McMahon. She's turning 42
today. Oh.
On the 24th.
September 24th.
I feel like we didn't do that, what the date was. Did we miss that?
yes, we did it, but I don't know where you were. So anyways, we got another one. This guy was once extreme.
Oh?
Now you may say he's broken. That is Matt Hardy. He's going to turn 44.
44, Matt Hardy. That's...
44, really?
44.
Yeah, I remember them coming in all young guns and flying all over the place. They're still good.
And last week we talked about how he had all that legal problems, and it was right around his birthday. What a shame.
Yeah, him and Jeff Hardy both. In both the past podcasts we talked in the past, probably 3 weeks in the past, they got into some serious trouble with the law.
Yes, they did.
I can't believe he's 44. That's crazy.
It is crazy. We're getting old.
Yeah.
I'm going on to September 25th, 1993. This one is a little bit of a long one, so bear with me.
All right.
Okay. Shawn Michaels, at the time, he was WWF Intercontinental Champion, walked out of the company. Allegedly, the falling out had to do with Michaels testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs just 2 days after his walkout. He was stripped of the Intercontinental title, and the storyline given being that Michaels did not defend the championship in the last 30 days. But that wasn't true. He did. He defended it at the SummerSlam event. That was on August 30th, so it was like 25 days, I believe. But they said that he was not going to be back in time to defend it in the 30 days, so they stripped him of the title. And so since he knew that he had like an impending suspension, he didn't want to come back. So then during the time he was gone, he had an offer from WCW, and he turned him down and came back to the WWF in November at Survivor Series.
Wow. Could you imagine if he would have took that offer for WCW? One of the best performers ever.
Would have been crazy.
It would have.
It would have changed the entire game. When he lost his smile, right?
No, this was before. This is 93.
Oh, 93. Yeah, I missed the.
That was 97.
That could have changed a lot of stuff, though. Like, if he was like the guy over at WCW, who knows what would have happened?
Eric Bischoff would have pushed Shawn Michaels to the moon.
He definitely would
have. Shawn Michaels versus Sting.
Yeah.
Versus Ric Flair.
My gosh, that would have changed the entire game. That would have been amazing.
It would have been, but.
You know I'm a WCW guy, so yeah, I would like to look back and go.
Yeah, some of the matches they could have done would have been awesome.
I am very happy with the way it ended up.
So, it's all right. Yeah, it all worked out in the end.
Okay, so now we're moving on to 2000 at a Raw in State College, Pennsylvania. WWF presented the first Raw's War on TNN.
Oh, remember so when they switched when they over? Switched. Yeah.
It was the first Raw on a network other than USA since its debut in 93 and would be the signature show on the newly rebranded National Network. The show remained on the network, which was rebranded Spike TV, for 5 years before returning to USA in 2005.
Jeez.
Yeah, I remember all of this because this is when I was in the height of watching wrestling, because during middle school and high school, I always watched wrestling.
Yeah, I would flip back and forth between Raw and Nitro, mostly sticking to Raw because I was a WWE guy.
I'm in middle school.
2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2000. I was in middle school, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was mainly just a WWF guy. So, but anyways, do you want to know what happened on this Raw?
Of course I want to know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
The show was the first appearance of Stone Cold Steve Austin on Raw since the Monday before Survivor Series, the November previous, because of the whole neck surgery
and getting
run down. And it was the first non-pay-per-view appearance by Austin since SmackDown before the previous Backlash in April. So that was kind of a big deal, changing networks and Stone Cold coming back.
Oh, yeah. It was a big
time. I'm sure when that glass shattered,
people lost their minds, I bet.
So do you know how Nitro responded to this Raw?
I do not
remember.
Probably
not very well.
Okay, you guys are not going to be very happy with this because I'm not happy with this. Just let me tell you.
I'm going to get really upset, aren't I, Diesel?
Yeah, wait to get upset till after I'm done.
All right.
It's a stain on the underpants of professional wrestling, that's for sure. Okay. Vince Russo defeated Booker T in a caged heat match to win the WCW championship. There's more. Actually, Russo was never announced as the winner during the Nitro broadcast. The match and the show ended with Goldberg spearing Russo out of the cage. Russo was seen on Thunder 2 days later with the WCW World Title belt in his possession, declaring himself the champion, and retired from in-ring competition.
Just terrible, god-awful stuff.
Diesel, this is now, I don't know if it's the second or third week in a row, that you have brought something up that I had blacked out from my memory and that I had forgotten on purpose because I hated thinking about it, that you have now brought back in the forefront of my memory because I remember this. I remember being so upset because I hate Vince Russo. I despise that man. I despise the Jeff Jarrett thing when Jeff Jarrett laid down for Hulk Hogan and then he came out and cut a promo on Hogan. I hate everything about Vince Russo.
Why would he give himself the title? He's the writer. That's stupid.
Because he's Vince Russo.
Because he's Vince freaking Russo, and he's a piece of garbage. Yeah, and Vince Russo, I hope you're never going to listen to this, but if you do, please block me on Twitter because I don't care. Please, you're a horrible person. You're the worst booker of all time, and I hate you.
I thought this was notable enough to be on the lesson plan today, so sorry for bringing up bad memories, but that's not all.
All right, Professor Diesel, please keep going.
Okay, Rusev officially vacated the title the following Nitro. This was the ninth time the title was vacated since Russo came aboard and the seventh in 2000 alone.
Seven times they had it vacated?
Yes, and to put that in perspective, the WCW world title was vacated three times total prior to the Rusev era.
What is
wrong with him? Why would he do that?
Because he's the worst booker of all time. He's horrible.
Times in 1 year? That's a real stat?
Yes.
Oh, my God, dude.
He's horrible.
I'm glad I wasn't watching then.
I was watching it. It hurt. It all hurt every time someone win the title. Oh, I vacated.
I win the title. Vacated.
I wonder why WCW died. So it wasn't too long after that. So moving on to September 26th, 2003. This one's a good one. The Rundown premiered in theaters.
Yes, I love The Rundown.
Great movie.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Sean William Scott, Christopher Walken.
Rosario Dawson. You got to get the female lead in there.
You got my tooth. You understand the concept of tooth fairy.
I want it back.
So, did you know, a little fun fact, that Arnold Schwarzenegger made a cameo in this movie?
What? Where?
I did not know that. I don't know. I didn't know that till today. I don't know where it's at, but apparently he's in the movie
like 100 times.
I have seen that movie. Get out of here, monkey.
We just watched it like a month ago together when we were up north.
He must
be
like.
We watched The Rundown?
Yeah, we did.
Did we watch it on the guys' trip?
You might have been sleeping. Oh. No, it was during this last trip.
Oh, man, I was sleeping.
You know, he might have been like in the background as an extra or something like that.
Yeah, I guess, or doing something. I don't know.
Excited.
We got the bings on the Dijwa.
Anyway, so the film, while generally well-liked by critics, was a bust in the box office. The film budgeted at $85 million, made just under $81 million, with only $47.7 million coming domestically. So that's kind of a shame, because that is a really good movie, and it's underrated.
I didn't really know about it that much until I saw it, and then I loved it.
No, I think it made probably a lot more money back when I went to DVD and everything like that. Because it's a more popular movie once it hit there, because I also didn't see it in theaters.
No, I didn't see it in theaters either.
Yeah, but we knew about it because they played it on Raw.
Yeah, just because of The Rock.
Oh, yeah, true. So, we got 2005. Raw airs for the final time on Spike TV.
Oh, did they go back to USA after that?
Yes, that's when we went back to the USA Network. See what I'm talking about, the continuity, JR?
That's how Professor Diesel rolls.
Makes sense.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to a birthday.
Oh, another birthday. Happy birthday.
This woman is turning 35.
35.
Nobody is ready for her. She is Asuka.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I'm so excited for her to be on Raw. They need women, and it's going to be awesome.
I hope she keeps her undefeated streak till forever.
Sidebar, since we brought up that Asuka's coming back, I want to know how you guys feel about Paige returning.
Yeah, I saw that she was at the training center or whatever again.
WWE posted a thing that Paige could be returning as a free agent. And yes, she could be being on both shows.
That would be awesome. I love Paige.
I do too.
In ring is awesome.
Dude, she has so many great finishers. The Rampage, the Paige Turner.
I mean, personality's in question a little bit from what I hear. I don't know her personally, obviously, but
on TV she's great.
She is great on TV.
I love me some Paige.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. I kind of hope she goes to SmackDown though.
Oh yeah, 100%. Oh, I kind of do too,
especially with Asuka coming to Raw. They don't really need her.
Okay, back on track here. We are moving to September 27th, and got only one tidbit for this day. It's 2004, a SmackDown in Laredo, Texas. Cowboy Bob Orton wrestled his first match in 18 years in the WWE. Do you know who he wrestled?
And so that's this is the 80s then?
No, this is 2004.
Oh, wow.
It was his first match in 18 years in the WWE.
Oh, man. I literally have no
Undertaker.
Idea.
It is the Undertaker.
Good call, yeah, Craig.
Darn right. I know exactly what this feud was. This is when Randy Orton was feuding with the Undertaker, and this led to the Hell in a Cell.
It is, but you know what makes me chuckle about this one? That back in, I think it was, I don't remember what year, early 90s, Bob Orton and the Undertaker had a match, and they both bled, and then it came out that Bob Orton had bad blood.
Hepatitis C.
Quote unquote, that's what they said was bad blood.
Yeah, FC.
Yeah. So, and Undertaker, rightfully so, freaked out about it. And
I'd be
fired.
Very upset too, dude.
Rightfully so.
Is that why they started wearing gloves, the refs and stuff after that?
No, that was way later.
Yeah, it was way later. Why didn't they start? They probably should.
It's all about the way that everyone feels about everything now.
Yeah,
so, I suppose, I guess.
So, that was the only one for September 27th. We're moving on to our last day.
Hey, hold on. Where's my gold star for that one? I knew exactly what was going on, Professor Diesel. Where's my gold star?
You don't get one if you ask for one.
Yeah. Well, I deserved it.
Not this time, Chad. Maybe, fine. This time, because I forgot. I'll give it to you this time. But if you ever do that again, you're not getting one.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, September 28th, 1998, at Raw in Detroit, Michigan. Vince McMahon attempts to award the WWF Championship to Undertaker and or Kane when Steve Austin crashes the party.
Oh.
So he's just giving the title away?
I don't know the exact circumstances. I'm not this far yet. I'm in 98. Quite.
Yeah, you're right. Getting close.
But this is the infamous Zamboni coming down to the ring.
Oh, my God, yes.
He climbs on top of it and jumps in and just starts pounding on Vince McMahon.
Yep. I can picture it perfectly because Undertaker and Kane are definitely both in the ring.
With the title in the case.
With the red carpet on the ring. Yes. Yeah.
It was a great moment, that's for sure.
Classic.
So then moving on to Nitro on the same night once again.
Man, the Monday Night Wars were so amazing. So it was good. So awesome.
This hasn't happened, though, one time when we've done this. Though,
no, this is the first time the Monday Night Wars
Multiple ones, too. So it was Nitro in Rochester, New York. This is a good one. Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart fought to a no contest. It is the only televised singles match between the two in wrestling history.
Wow.
Yeah. Really?
A no contest, huh?
Of course, because neither of them would put the other one over. Yeah, they were both like, no.
That sounds about right.
They were like, nah, we'll just both not lose.
Okay, 1999, SmackDown in Richmond, Virginia. The British Bulldog and Triple H fought to a no contest. What coincidence. In a WWF Championship match, The Rock was the special guest referee, and it features the best people's elbow ever. And The Rock means ever.
Yeah.
It's the one where he's in the dress shoes, and he slides after he hits the roll.
Yeah, and he just kind of...
And he literally slides like a whole foot and then just drops it.
Yeah.
That is great.
It's the best one ever. Yeah. And I kind of liked that British Bulldog Rock feud for a minute back in 99.
Back in the day.
I liked the British Bulldog.
You cannot like the British Bulldog. He's a good wrestler.
He was.
Okay, moving on to 2011.
2011.
So let me finish this one. I'm going to read it because you guys are going to know what's going on here. But
all right. So quiet ourselves.
So WWE signed the bashing Bulgarian Miroslav Barniashev. Trained by Gangrel and Rikishi at Nux Pro Wrestling Academy. He has garnered success in the WWE as Rusev.
Machka something, Rusev.
What did you say? What?
Yeah, that was
what
great.
What does that mean? Yesterday? That was good.
What? Elated? What does that mean?
I hope they're changing him into like a comedy
character. I hope so too, because he is awesome.
I just want him to be a face. Everyone loves Rusev.
Rusev's number one. Handsome Rusev
is the best idea ever.
What was that? Rufev?
Rufez, yeah. Rusev. Yeah, he's the man.
He is number one. You've seen Lana.
They've used him very, very poorly in his career.
Yes, they have.
Do you understand that they're really mad at him because he cut his hair? That's like the latest reason they're still pissed at him.
Yeah. And that happened at Fastlane.
Yeah, because they were doing reshoots and they couldn't do it because his hair was too short. Who cares?
When we saw it, he came out, we're like, whoa, look at his hair.
Whoa, look at him.
Yeah, and then he got beat down by the Big Show.
Yeah. It was bad things.
It was bad, but it was awesome.
We got to see Rusev and Big Show. That's kind of nice.
I was getting a beer, and I walked in and went, oh, well, this
is interesting. I heard Big Show's music on. I was like, he's not on the card. What is going on around here?
Okay, we're going to finish off with a couple birthdays.
Birthday!
So the first one, he's 29 years old. That means I'm older than this guy, and I don't like that. But it's Jason Jordan.
Hey, wow, Jason Jordan. Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah, he might get a happy birthday present this weekend when he fights The Miz. Who knows?
Maybe. Oh, well, we'll find out what we're all thinking on that match.
Foreshadowing a little bit, maybe, Jerry.
Continuity, Schwinner.
Continuity. There you go. See, he gets it.
I got it.
He gets it, just like Matt Taven.
Yeah. He's not a Melvin. We are Melvins.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, last but not least, this man turns 54 on the 28th of September. He is one half of the tag team Head Cheese.
Oh, Steve Blackman.
The Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman.
Love Steve Blackman. He's the man. Was the man. He
is the man. He had awesome entrance music.
He doesn't wrestle anymore. That's all I said.
Yeah, he's actually, I think he's a bouncer somewhere now.
Yeah,
something like that.
I'd be scared to fight that guy. That guy's pretty
but
cool.
He had awesome entrance music. He came out with those flowing sticks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He would just—he wasn't the best on the mic, but it didn't matter.
He was really good in the ring. Awesome.
Yeah,
and he had that—he knocked Shane McMahon off the side of the time trap.
Backlash.
Yeah, that like scaffolding—that was crazy.
That was awesome. So,
is that all we have for class today, Professor?
I don't know. I'm waiting for a bell.
You know, I'm going to say something before class ends, though. Because this is Pro Wrestling History 101, I think we should all take a moment and say, rest in peace, Bobby Heenan.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest of all time.
Oh, he was the man.
This is the first time we've had a podcast since it happened, and we want to pass our condolences to the entire family. Honestly, probably one of the greatest performers we'll ever see in entire wrestling history. Bobby the Brain Heenan, the weasel, if you will.
Yes, we are humanoids.
You better believe it.
He was fantastic.
And not only are we Melvins, we are humanoids.
Yep. We are all of the things above. And once again, rest in peace, Bobby Heenan. And
ding, ding, ding.
And that's the bell.
Yeah, go get your snacks and put on a good after-school special.
And grab your cookies as well, as I always say. Cookies are always a good choice.
Milk.
And that was Pro Wrestling History 101. And now it's time to move on to our No Mercy picks. Before we do our picks, though, we have joined a podcast battle royal, if you will. It's a Survivor Series style thing for picks for the next four pay-per-views. These next four pay-per-views will determine if we win, which we will, because we are amazing.
That's right.
But before we do those picks, we have to determine what the possession arrow is going to be. Because clearly, Diesel and I, as the hosts of this podcast, do not agree on every single match that will happen in a pay-per-view. So the possession arrow will determine who gets the decision first, when we disagree on a match.
Much like college basketball when there's a jump ball.
Exactly. That's exactly where we're stealing this rule from. And since we have JR on the podcast this week, he is going to flip the coin for us. We're going to do it live right now on air. I am going to call it. Once he flips it in air, you will hear the noise of the coin hitting the table, and we'll see who wins the possession arrow.
Why don't you tell people why you get to call it?
Because I am the champ.
That's right. I'm just
the designated coin flipper. That's it.
Yeah. All right.
You might get paid. You might get the coin, but it's yours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my coin, man.
Oh, you can keep it.
All right, I will.
All right, then, JR. It's time for you to flip this coin, and I will call it in air. Let it hit the table, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Sounds good.
Tails.
And looks like it is heads. Sorry, Cran.
I get the first possession arrow.
All right, so Diesel will get the choice. I haven't made my predictions for this card yet because I like to do them live on air. Diesel's already made his. But afterwards, I will be posting our podcast picks for this Battle Royale on our Twitter. I will also be sending to you Josh and Stu at Josh and Stu's podcast on their email as well.
And just like Chad said before, we are going to win. So everybody, watch out.
Oh, yeah. We're coming for all of you. But let's just get right into it. They haven't announced any pre-show matches. So I have no pre-show matches on this card because I went on Wikipedia and there aren't any. So the first match on the card is the Intercontinental title match between The Miz versus Jason Jordan, Kurt Angle's son. And clearly The Miz Taraj, even on Wikipedia, says Miz with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel. And who wants to go first?
I already got mine written down, so I mean,
I literally don't know on this one.
So yeah, so if you want a second to think about it, well, I am going to go with Jason Jordan. I'm going to go, should I say how I want it? Yeah, I'll say it. I'm going to go by pinfall, but I'm going to say that the Miz Taraj gets involved somehow, and then the Hardys come down and take out Miz Taraj. They might be fighting outside the ring and then distract the Miz, and then Jason Jordan comes up and gives him a suplex or rolls him up or and pins him.
All right. So you got Jason Jordan winning this first match over The Miz and taking the Intercontinental title.
I do.
I tend to agree, actually. And I really don't want The Miz to lose the Intercontinental title. And I don't know if Jason Jordan's ready yet, especially since his gimmick's not working very well. Like, a lot of people don't like it.
It's getting better.
It is getting better.
He's getting over with his wrestling.
Well, his wrestling is so good that it's hard not to. But, yeah, I think I'm picking Jason Jordan as well.
I am not going to pick Jason Jordan.
Surprise, surprise.
I am clearly going to let Diesel have the possession aerial, but I'm taking The Miz to win this match because, as you, JR, just said, it doesn't make sense for Jason Jordan to win this match yet.
Not yet.
And Miz is going to win on distraction. Like, the Miz Taraj is going to jump up on the apron. They're going to distract Jason Jordan for a second, and he's going to get the skull-crushing finale. And that's going to happen. So I'm picking The Miz to win this match.
It's a good thing I got the first possession, because that's going to be a one right for us in the Survivor Series.
I'm pretty sure Jason Jordan's going to win, too.
That's great. And just so everyone knows, before we continue any farther, this Pick'em Leagues right now, it's only between me and JR, because I am the champion, and I just took the championship from JR, the Better Lucky Than Good Wrestling Championship, Cardboard Championship.
That's right.
Yeah, it's an automatic rematch clause in his contract.
Exactly.
Yep, sure do.
So it's only between me and JR. So there will be a tiebreaker at the end that only me and JR will be picking. And also the punishment is only between me and JR. And the punishment this time, JR, you want to say it? Because you're much more upset about it.
I hate pickles. I just don't like them. And we have to drink, a pint?
A pint.
A pint of pickle juice.
16 ounces of pickle juice.
I better win because I might barf.
Oh, it's going to be hilarious.
Everybody do it outside.
Yeah, we definitely should do it outside.
And you still have to get your legs waxed.
I sure do.
All of these videos, once these happen, will be available on Facebook and the YouTube and wherever else I decide to put them.
Twitter.
Because I'm going to be putting all these videos up because there's a lot of punishments that people have to serve. And they're going to be awesome.
And we have some karaoke ones to do, too.
Oh, yeah. Me and Diesel get to sing dual karaoke.
Yeah, sing a song by yourself.
I do.
Don't I get to pick these songs?
You get to pick all the songs.
Yeah, I'm jacked for that. I cannot wait.
You get to pick all the darn songs.
That's going
to
be a good time.
Yeah, but so this challenge is really only between me and JR. Diesel's still clearly making picks, and our podcast picks for the league will be between the two of us. Yes. So every one of these picks does make sense, but I just wanted to clear that up for everyone.
Good job.
So we're going to move right along. The next match on Wikipedia that I wrote down is for the Raw Women's Championship match. And it is Alexa Bliss as the champion versus Sasha Banks versus Bayley versus Emma versus Nia Jax.
I don't understand why they added Bayley. It didn't make any sense. Like, she just came back and then like, oh yeah, you're in the match.
Well, I mean, technically, she was the number one contender before she got hurt.
Okay, that's understandable. Why didn't they say that?
Yeah, no, I don't like that they added her either, especially on the go-home show.
It makes everything very convoluted, like the whole thing. They should have just – I don't get it.
but it kind of ties into how I made my pick, though.
All right.
And I'm going with Alexa Bliss.
Okay.
I'm going by pinfall.
All right.
And is there a bonus one in this one? Like, who's getting pinned?
There is the bonus question.
Do you want me to wait?
No, you can take it if you want to do it right now.
And I'm going to say it's going to happen on Bayley.
All right. Bayley is going to eat the pinfall in the women's match.
Yeah, that could be half the reason that she got inserted in the first place, is just to eat the pinfall, because they don't want it to be Nia Jax or Sasha. Yeah. I think I'm also going to take...
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa Bliss. I had a major brain aneurysm there for a second. But yeah, I'll take the champ to retain as well. And give me, I guess, go Bayley as well for the pinfall, because I can't really think of another reason why she's in the match.
Yeah, no, I agree with you both that Bayley is going to eat the loss. It's not going to be a pinfall, though, because Sasha Banks, once again, the pay-per-view queen, is going to take the title.
You're gonna have Bayley submit to Sasha Banks to start that feud?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
I'd be all right with that.
That is the start of this feud that is going to lead to everything else, because we're gonna get an Alexa Bliss Nia Jax feud, and Emma is gonna feud with Asuka, and I can now tie up all these loose ends, and this is what begins the Sasha Banks heel turn.
If they were smart, they'd do that, Chad, but they're not, and they probably won't.
I don't want to see Sasha win the title and then lose it 2 weeks later again.
Well, they keep doing that.
But it's not going to happen, because now she's going to turn heel and be, if you will, a B-I-T-C-H about it.
I don't know if they want to take Alexa Bliss out of the spotlight yet. She's so good at what she does. It's crazy.
They're not going to take her out of the spotlight, because they're still building Nia Jax as well and having them as the secondary feud for the women's scene before Asuka comes, because for a kayfabe injury, it's going to be another few weeks. So we have all of this time to build the next pay-per-view.
I guess.
Well, I don't know. I just, like I said, I don't want to see Sasha win the title and lose it 2 weeks later. And you say it's going to be different, but
they keep
past
doing
history
it.
Tells me that it's not going
to
be.
For like the last year, even before when Charlotte and Sasha Banks were feuding, it happened like every 2-3 weeks.
Oh, I understand exactly what you're both saying.
Okay.
But I'm just going, I guess I'm going with past history, that the title's going to change hands.
Yeah.
Because that's what they keep doing.
No, so I can see it.
You know what that means? That means you're using your possession arrow on this one.
I guess so. I guess the possession arrow is already back to you.
All right.
So the next match on the card is for the Cruiserweight Championship, and it is Neville versus Enzo.
I want Neville, even though he might not win.
I am also going Neville, and he's going to win by the red arrow. It's pinfall.
Yep.
I am also going to take Neville. I'm not messing
around. It should not be Enzo Amore.
I just, honest to God, if Enzo wins this, I don't care. We'll lose points on this, because I will not pick Enzo Amore to win this match. No matter what.
Agreed.
It would be the most catastrophic thing for the Cruiserweight division if Neville wins this match. Or if Neville loses this match.
It would be the most catastrophic thing since Vince Russo winning the WCW championship.
That's right.
Yeah. That's this right. is another thing that would be the exact they, same as that.
They should have never took it off of Neville for that, like, random 1 week on Raw.
That's all right. It doesn't matter. It was Akira Tozawa. At least Akira Tozawa.
Well, I know. It's fine.
He deserved it.
But, like, if they – yeah, he definitely did. But
not that way, though.
Yeah, and then he lost it again right at SummerSlam. So then they just took Neville's reign that would be at, what, over 150 days now, probably, and then just cut that off and then gave it right back to him.
I think they just didn't want it to usurp Asuka's reign, because I feel like he's going to hold it till WrestleMania.
Yeah, I could, maybe you're right on that, actually.
If he would have not lost it for that week, then his reign would have lasted longer than Asuka's.
Maybe you're right.
That is not true. Asuka was over 500 days.
Yeah, it would take – yeah, it's going to be a
he
while.
He was champion before WrestleMania, man.
No, that, Asuka was women's champion before the Cruiserweight Classic.
Jeez.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
He was.
I mean, it hasn't even been like 200 days since WrestleMania.
No, so, but I'd say if he went all the way through WrestleMania. So yeah. It'd be a full year at least. He was champion at WrestleMania, so it'd be a full year.
Not quite, because the Cruiserweight Classic was in the summertime, and he didn't come back until about December.
He competed with Austin Aries at the last WrestleMania in the opening match when it was light out during the pre-show.
Yes, I'm not arguing that.
So then if he was champion all the way till this next WrestleMania, that would make it a whole year.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. I got confused.
Plus when he won it before that. Yeah, so plus, it'd be getting pretty close.
It wouldn't be 500 days, but it would still be in the high 300s at least, almost 400 at least.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I see what you're saying now.
Okay, I'm glad we could all agree on that one now. So we're going to move on to the next match, which is Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt in the feud that goes on and on and on and on and on between two people that I want to care about, but the WWE doesn't let me.
Can I go last on this one? Because I literally have no idea who's going to win this match. I don't even know who to pick.
As the champion, I will allow it.
All right, thank you there, Chad. Okay.
Well, I am going to go with Balor, but he's going to win by disqualification.
You think Bray Wyatt's going to go off on him?
Something, he might. I don't know. He might. I don't know. I just think it's going to be something happens, and Bray Wyatt will get disqualified.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
I don't have an exact answer for you.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go Balor, even though I don't want to go Balor, because Bray Wyatt should win. But it's going to be Balor, because they're building him to nothing, but it's Balor, so he's got to win this match, because he had that promo. It wasn't on the Hulu version, but he had a big promo about who's scarier. If the man made the demon, then the man is the scarier man. So he's going to win the match. It's stupid. I'm very upset about it, but I'm going with Balor as well.
Yeah, I really, really want to pick Bray Wyatt, but he never wins, ever. Like, they gave him the title, and they're like, yeah, we're taking it back. So I guess I'm going to take Balor as well with you guys. I mean, I get it, and Balor should be pushed, but they don't have to bury Bray Wyatt at the same time.
Well, that's why I think if it's a DQ, they're not burying Bray Wyatt.
I suppose, yeah, that's actually
But if it's a DQ, they're going to extend the feud. So
exactly. Kind
of they don't need to do that. They've already had a
it's
match of
it's the feud that goes on and on. And it goes chop. On and on, my friend.
Yeah, lamb chop. Lamb
oh,
chop
my gosh,
reference.
It's so ridiculous. This feud was over like two pay-per-views ago.
I know. I have no
why
idea.
Does it keep going?
Because they have nothing else to do for
and
either.
This is only the second pay-per-view they've had a match.
Yeah,
you know, it's ridiculous.
They've had, saying something.
They've had like countless matches on Raw, though. Like, I don't even know how many they've had. It's a bunch. Yeah,
it's all 50-50 booking. It's so ridiculous that they're still in this feud.
And I love both those guys, but this is absurd.
I agree.
It's so bad. I want to care about it, but the WWE won't let me. But we'll move on because we're just very upset about this. So the next match on the card is a match I'm very excited for, actually. It is the Raw Tag Team Titles match between two parts of the Shield, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Death.
Versus The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro. And who you got and why?
The Bar.
The Bar.
But I will take Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins to win this one and then move on to a different feud. Because I think they're going to keep the titles on them for a little bit longer before they break them up. Even though I have loved the feud between these two teams, I don't see them winning the titles back this early.
Yeah, I agree with almost everything you said right there. I think that eventually when Ambrose and Rollins do lose the belts, I think it might be to The Bar.
I could see that too, yep.
But maybe not till Royal Rumble
or even Survivor Series or something.
That might be a little soon.
Yeah, it might be a little soon too, yeah. So, That's coming up pretty quick, ain't it?
Yeah, just a couple months.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Ambrose and Rollins. And is this a bonus one, too?
This is. And who do you have eating the pin?
Well, I have eating the pin, I have Sheamus.
Sheamus.
Do you want to know who I have pinning Sheamus?
Of course I do.
Ambrose.
All right.
Ambrose to pin Sheamus is what you have. Are we doing just eating the pin for the bonus? Okay.
Just eating the pin.
Okay, the eating the pin, I will take Cesaro, I guess. Not really sure on that, but.
Okay, I am also going to take the Shield to win, and I am going to take Sheamus to eat the pin as well.
Yeah, I could totally see Sheamus eating it, but for some reason I feel like they protect Sheamus more than they protect Cesaro. I don't know if that's Vince McMahon or what it is.
Just for fun, who do you guys have getting the pin?
I also agree with you with Dean Ambrose because it goes with the V trigger into the Dirty Deeds.
So. Yeah, that makes total sense. So, yeah, I'm with you guys on that.
100%.
I like the V trigger that you call it the V trigger because that's what it is.
It's really nameless, though.
It's actually called the Rain Trigger when he does it that way in New Japan.
Yeah, Rain Trigger. And what is
because it's the Rainmaker.
What do they call
setup.
It in the WWE?
It doesn't have a name.
It's called the Kingslayer for like one week.
One week, and then they stop saying that after
that. It has no name.
And now Corey Graves just says,
"Pull the trigger."
Yeah, he's about to pull the trigger.
He pulled the trigger on that one. So the next match on the card. Ooh, this is when things started to get interesting. We have John freaking Cena versus the big dog Roman Reigns.
Super Cena. Oh man, I can't believe this match is happening at No Mercy.
I'm like whatever the word is. I'm drooling here.
Salivating. You had it. You were close.
I am drooling here is what I'm trying to say. I'm very excited for this match.
Oh, I hope they put on as good a show as they can. I hope it's not a squash either way.
It's not going to be a squash.
It better not be. I'll be very upset.
It's going to be a classic, I think.
They're both going to put their heart and soul into this match.
You guys think it's that, but it's the WWE, and I can see them.
Have you ever seen a John Cena or a Roman Reigns match?
I know.
Have either of them ever not delivered on a big match?
But I've also both seen them squash people. So if they really wanted to get Roman Reigns heat and have him look like the man, he would squash Cena and people would be real pissed about it.
No, that doesn't. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
That hurts everybody.
That does. That doesn't help anyone. And they wouldn't do that.
I don't know, guys. But I mean, it is John Cena. He doesn't get squashed. I understand that, too. But it wouldn't be that bad of an idea, to be honest.
Just squash anyone in this match, either way, would be a terrible decision. Because neither of them, I mean, they could both recover. But like when Miz gets squashed, he can recover better than anyone else in the world because it doesn't matter.
I know.
If Roman Reigns got squashed by John Cena.
See, that's the way that they wouldn't do it. The way they would do it would be Roman Reigns squashing Cena to make him look really strong.
No, because he didn't even squash The Undertaker.
I suppose, yeah, but The Undertaker is The Undertaker.
Yeah, but John Cena is John Cena.
I know what I'm saying doesn't make a ton of sense. I'm just saying I could see them doing it.
I hear what you're saying, and I just vehemently disagree.
Well, how I feel about this match is it's probably going to be a 5-star classic that Dave Meltzer gives a 4.
Right, yeah, I could see him doing that too.
4.5.
Yeah, maybe, he always does that. 4.5, that's it. That's all you get. What? Does anybody want to take the lead on this one?
Oh, I'll do it.
All right, Eagle.
I got Roman Reigns winning by pinfall. And, yeah, let's take a tiebreaker on this one, I think, too.
I'm going to go Roman Reigns as well. And even though I said it might be a squash match, I think he might cheat to win.
I would like that.
Yeah, I would too. Get him a real heel.
I would love for a heel victory. I'm also taking Roman Reigns by pinfall in this one. And I agree that we should probably take our tiebreaker on this one.
I think it's really weird because I feel right now, feel totally different about Roman Reigns than I did like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been amazing. The way they've booked it, the way – just let him go off the cuff, dude. It's awesome.
Maybe they should have put him with Cena sooner.
Yeah, maybe they should have.
No, it's been absolutely amazing, the TV that they have put on. And even when John Cena wasn't there this last week,
it was still
Roman
good.
Reigns,
yeah, it was still
Roman
really
Reigns
good.
Carried it.
I think Roman Reigns is definitely proving that he really is the guy. He's the next guy after John Cena. I think, like, people are starting to see that as well. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I've never hated Roman Reigns. I haven't hated him either.
He's not. I liked him more than I liked John Cena when he was getting his push. You guys know how much I didn't like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I could probably agree with that. I think that his Roman Reigns. I do. I agree with JR on that one. I liked him more when they get this super push than when I liked John Cena.
I hated John Cena. I was like, why is he squashing 7 guys from the Nexus?
Yeah,
seven of them.
He squashed so many people.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Super push.
It was crazy.
Back to what I was saying was that his character, the way they were portraying it, you know how I felt about it. I know how you guys felt about it. You guys were frustrated at times as I was, but I feel totally different right now at this time about Roman Reigns than I did, like I said, it's like really it's 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, since like SummerSlam. I totally agree. They have brought the best out of each other. It's been amazing.
And John Cena's written every promo.
And John Cena's putting him over.
He's so good at it, dude. It's ridiculous.
John Cena is a better talker than The Rock. And if you don't agree with me, come and fight me on Twitter.
He's the best promo package guy ever.
Yeah, the best ever. And if you don't agree with me, come fight me on Twitter. I'll say it again. At View From Top Rope. I'm right there.
Bring it
on, baby. So then finally, we are going into our main event, which is Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title in the craziest match that I never – I thought I would see it happen, but at this point I have no idea what's going to happen in the match.
And I thought I might see it happen, but I didn't realize how excited I would be for said match.
What pay-per-view was it a couple months ago for
– Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, when they were supposed to have this
match. Great Balls of Fire was where it was.
But it was supposed to be just Brock and Braun one-on-one.
Yep.
And it didn't seem as exciting as it does now.
They did a really good job with it.
Those couple months actually really helped.
And what he did to him at SummerSlam, put him through those tables, helped a lot.
He wouldn't have had that four-way at SummerSlam if Braun wouldn't have got hurt.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And then on those last couple weeks on Raw, he came out and just kept power slamming and popped up from that German suplex.
When he popped up, we've already talked about it before. When he popped up from that German suplex, I had a massive mark attack.
That face that Brock Lesnar made was just instant classic.
Epic.
It was instant classic stuff.
He is one of the greatest sellers of all time. He doesn't sell a lot. Yeah, but when he does.
That's how they book him. But when he does, he's awesome at
it. He's phenomenal at it.
And watch his old stuff when he sells a lot because he's a rookie and fighting Kurt Angle. Oh, he's amazing.
And he's not invincible.
Yeah, he's not invincible. He actually gets hurt a little bit.
I still go back to one of my favorite Brock Lesnar matches of all time. Is Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker and their first ever Hell in a Cell match.
Yep.
It's one they don't want you to know about.
Yeah, they didn't even want you to talk about it.
They don't talk about that match. And it's the best match they ever had.
Oh, it was so good.
It was Undertaker just bleeding a stuck.
03 or something like
it's
that?
It's 01, actually, I want to say.
No, Brock Lesnar came in 02. He came in
02. Okay, then it's 03.
So I think it's 03, his second year after his Kurt Angle feud and all that.
Yeah, he came after the brand splits.
Yes.
Well, then.
Yeah, he came after SmackDown exclusive.
No, he was Raw first.
Yes, and then he switched over to SmackDown.
Yeah, when he won the Undisputed title.
When he won the Undisputed title is when he switched over to being SmackDown exclusive. So it's probably 2004, actually.
It might be.
No, I'd say more like 2002. It was 2002 because it was right after the brand split. Yeah, it was January-ish.
He was just taking down everybody. That match is awesome.
Maybe a little later after. Maybe it was after WrestleMania, but... Yeah, it was 2002, I'm pretty sure.
So excited for this match, though, between
the two. I was going to say, we got so off
we did,
topic
we did,
once
but
again.
That's all right. A little ramble is all right.
That's right. So, who you got, JR?
I have the Beast, Brock Lesnar, retaining, just because he's the Beast. He never loses. And I know they want to keep the title on him until WrestleMania, even though he's not scheduled to appear again till the Royal Rumble, I guess. Is that what it is?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. So hopefully they can sign him for at least a few days.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't want to have him win. That's what's it? September? That's not till January. That's 3 months without him on TV. That'd be crazy.
And he doesn't get to follow the 30-day no title match.
He doesn't have to do like Shawn Michaels did earlier.
Exactly.
Continuity.
Daniel Bryan.
Continuity. Diesel.
Exactly.
That's right.
So you should have answered it, Brock.
I thought
Lesnar.
Yep.
All right, Diesel, who you got, though?
I got Brock Lesnar.
You got Brock as well.
And I'm going, he's winning by submission.
Oh.
He's going to put him in the Kimura lock pass out.
Yeah.
That's the only way he's going to be able to take him down. I don't think
that will protect Braun a little bit.
He's going to hit a couple of fives, and Braun's going to kick out. And the only way he can do it is by submission, I think.
Kind of like he did as the Undertaker.
I believe I have the position already.
Yeah, because you only have two different, don't you?
Because I've really thought about this. If Braun does lose this match, what do they do? What do they do with him? What goes next?
If he loses by passing out,
it's not as bad as eating a pinfall.
But as I said, that's fine. It's not as bad as eating a pinfall. But what do they do next?
I understand he's going up against Brock Lesnar. It's not like he's going up against Joe Schmo here.
I'm taking Braun. I'm taking Braun Strowman to win this
match. Oh, I'm glad I got the possession arrow because you are wrong on that one. I'm sure of it.
I'm sure of it too.
And if I'm wrong, you can throw it right in my face next week and I will see you and I'll take it.
Because I'm just honestly, you're right. I probably am wrong. But I know the WWE is the most logical place in the world, but logically, what are you going to do with Braun Strowman after he loses this match?
You're most likely right, Chad, that he probably should win this match. He's the up-and-comer. Brock Lesnar's leaving after a few more months, and he should be the one to take down Brock.
It's Brock Lesnar,
but it's Brock Lesnar. It's the WWE. They're not going to do it.
Okay. It's the same reason that Roman Reigns is going to beat John Cena, because they're both going away.
Okay, well then, what are you going to do when you put the belt on him? Are you going to have Braun versus Roman again? I don't see any other logical feud after this one right now anyways.
Except for maybe Samoa Joe.
There's a whole bunch of logical feuds you could do with Braun after this.
Yeah, but
if he wins the belt?
If he wins the belt? Yes, there's a whole bunch. Because Braun can literally come out and go, he can pretty much make it almost a U.S. Open Challenge situation where he is the monster and he wants competition. And it makes the Universal title, actually builds it to what it should be, because that's how they built the U.S. title to begin with, was with those open challenges. If Braun comes out every week and goes, I want competition, and he can squash the people, it doesn't matter. It still builds the prestige of that Universal title.
Yeah, but after a while, it's going to get old. I think it's...
And then Samoa Joe is the one who comes out to challenge. And then we can do the Brock Lesnar passing out.
I think he's better in the chase than he would be holding the title right now.
Right. I agree with you on that, Diesel. I don't think he's not quite yet, Chad.
See, and I disagree. I think Braun Strowman with the title will be phenomenal.
Oh, I agree. Eventually.
Right now. No, I think right now.
I don't know about right now.
I think if the plan is Roman, Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, it would be best just to keep it on Brock until then.
If that's what they're going to do, I agree. But I don't know if that's the best idea either, though. Because
I think with Brock being gone, and I know they could sign for more dates, but I really do think that they are going to take the title off Brock, and then at Royal Rumble, it will be Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar for his rematch.
This could be all psychology, but it's leaking out there. Oh, he's not going to be scheduled to.
Yeah, then the next day he'll be on Raw.
Yeah.
It could all be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've all seen the actual contract. I mean, they leak all of those guys.
Yeah, they
things.
Do that on purpose.
Well, I mean, they could have one that just needs to be signed and notarized and ready to go.
It's true. Okay, JR, though, well, we do have our tiebreaker. I don't even know if we really need it because I have so many random picks. I'm probably going to lose
still
the title.
We still pick it just
in case. So the tiebreaker for this is number of suplexes in the main event.
Between
and you have to go
them,
first.
Right? Yeah, it's a total, not
yeah,
just
Yeah, total, Lesnar. Between both of them.
All right, I will go first. I'm going to go not super high and not super low just to make it close, like because what I hate going first. But I'm going to go 8.
8 for you, JR. Well, that means I can either go 9 or 7.
7, right. That's
it's
why
a choice.
That's why it's rough to go first.
That's why
sucks.
I'm the champion. I get the
I know.
The
I did it last
advantage.
Time, and I had the worst picks of all time at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
they were not good.
Things happen. I'm going to go 7 because I'm going to go lower.
Going low is probably a good choice.
And once again, the final punishment for this, we have pickle juice, 16 ounces, to drink by either me or JR.
God, I hope I win.
Yeah,
I do not want to do that, dude. I swear to you that I do not like pickles like at all.
I like the pickles.
You all eat the pig. I like bread and butter pickles, but that's it.
Yeah, no. I
don't pickles for this one.
I really don't care. I will win this. But if I don't, I will drink the pickle juice. So those were our No Mercy picks. So that's going to wrap it up for this podcast tonight. Does anyone have any final thoughts? Diesel, I like you to go first.
Well, this weekend is Death Before Dishonor, Ring of Honor's pay-per-view. And admittedly, I am about 4 or 5 episodes behind, so I'm going to try to catch up on Ring of Honor this weekend and try to also watch Death Before Dishonor, so wish me luck.
I'm like 14 episodes behind, and I feel really, really bad about it because I love Ring of Honor, and I'm like 14 episodes behind. But it's going to be a great day whenever I decide I'm just going to binge watch all of them. JR, your final thoughts for the night.
Well, first off, I wanted to thank you guys for having me back on the podcast. Hopefully I'll come back again to do more picks because it's really fun. I love doing this. It's awesome. And I'm also very excited for No Mercy. It's one of the best B card. Like, the card is stacked. For it being a B card show, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, No Mercy looks like a phenomenal card. And my final thoughts are, this week, if you haven't watched either of them yet, 205 Live and NXT were both phenomenal. Enzo Amore and the Neville feud continues to be great. Drew Gulak is, once again, the star of 205 Live right now and is absolute fire at anything he does. NXT is the greatest thing right now because Adam Cole is in NXT. And I want to tell you guys, it makes me so happy every single time he is on screen for the NXT show. Like, I honestly can't put in words how happy it makes me.
Baby!
You are forgetting about Jack Gallagher, sir.
Oh, Jack Gallagher turning heel is also one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, ever.
I'm liking it a lot.
It's amazing. I love that Brian Kendrick's lessons apparently sank in for him.
He's still being a gentleman, but he's being a dick at the same time. I like it.
It's really awesome. The 205 Live, once again, everyone needs to watch 205 Live. I know all you watched NXT, but everyone needs to watch 205 Live, including you, JR.
I know. That's my bad. I don't know why I don't watch it. I'm sure I'd enjoy it thoroughly, but I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. I feel like I'm too far behind where I'm not going to like it or something like that.
No, you can join right now. Go home after this and watch 205 Live because it's amazing.
Yeah, this week's episode was really good.
Maybe I should just do that. Because, like, I remember before I wasn't really watching NXT, and then I just picked it up all of a sudden, and I cannot stop watching it. It's so good.
It's great.
It's the exact same thing with 205 Live. It started out just the same way as NXT. In the beginning, it was a little rough. They didn't know exactly what was going on. But 205 Live has started to blossom into a phenomenal show. And everyone should be watching it.
Yeah, maybe I will. I should.
Oh, you definitely should. So before we end the show, I do want to give out some shout-outs to some cities. I don't know exactly who you are or anything like that. I don't have your Twitter handle. But if you would like to tweet me about this, because I'm going to shout your city out because you have been listening to us, and I can look at these stats. So I want to shout out to Mountain View, California. You listen to all of our podcasts all at once in one day. And you are amazing.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Spanish Town, Jamaica. You listened to two of our podcasts the other day, and you're in Jamaica. So, hey, I'm very happy that you are listening to our podcast.
We hope you're enjoying them.
Yeah, keep it up.
We also have a Brazilian listener, and I probably won't pronounce this right, but if you listen to us right now and on Twitter, you can send me the correct pronunciation. And once again, we'll say it right next week. But I'm going to go with the Osasco, Brazil.
All right. And if you feel like it, why don't you give us a nice comment and a 5-star rating?
That's right.
So now we're going to go to our friends in the UK. We have a couple cities who are represented here. We have Eastbourne in the United Kingdom. And they've listened to a bunch of our podcasts since we have started doing this. So big thank you to them.
Appreciate it.
We also have Radcliffe. In the United Kingdom, also listen to all of our podcasts. So,
hey, welcome to the family.
That's right.
And this one, I did take German in high school. I do apologize if I mispronounce this, but I'm going to tell you, I think it's Radenwald, and it didn't sound good, but you still listen to a bunch of our podcasts in Germany. So thank you so much.
Really much appreciated to everybody.
We really do appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Danke, if you will. See, I did take German in high school. That's right. I wasn't lying to you.
I did not.
Nine.
And one more U.S. shout out. In Oakland, California, you've listened to all of our podcasts actually more than anyone else. I'm sure it's probably multiple people, but Oakland, California has a listen total of 27. Just for that. And we only have 11 podcasts out there. So Oakland, California, a big shout out to you for listening to our podcast.
Way to go, Oakland. That's awesome.
Old town.
That's right.
We also have to give a big shout out to our podcast Battle Royale, that we are going through with at Josh and Stu Pod. That is their Twitter handle. They're the ones running this. We're going to win it all. Our picks will be sent in before Sunday. I will also be posting them on our Twitter, so you can all follow along at home. You all heard about the possession arrow and everything, and we're going to win. And we might take a tiebreaker on something. We haven't discussed that yet.
Or have we?
Or have we?
Pretty sure we discussed it on here.
We did. We're taking a tiebreaker on the Roman Reigns match.
I agree. Let's do it.
And so, Diesel, shoot us up with those social media handles.
Well, our Twitter for our show is at ViewFromTopRope, and that's where you can get a hold of Chad, and you can fight him about various topics. You can get a hold of me at Diesel_VFTR. Jer, where can we get a hold of you?
At JakeIsJer on Twitter. Anytime you want to say anything, I go on there decently enough.
And also, we are on Facebook and Tumblr at View From The Top Rope. We have a Gmail account, which is aviewfromtoprope@gmail.com. And you can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and as of earlier this week, Google Play.
Oh, you almost forgot.
I almost said Gmail again.
But yeah.
You got
it. I told you I might forget it.
No, you got it. You got it.
Nailed it, man. That was the best you've done on our social media.
You said it, say, yeah, I'm not going to say it this time.
Yeah, please don't say it again. Because it'll come next week. You'll say it exactly the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
For my good man, Diesel, and also for my good friend, JR, I have been Chad, and we thank you for climbing high with us, and we hope you enjoyed our View From The Top Rope.